Heavenly Father, we're thankful for your blessings. We're thankful for your words of life. And we ask and pray, Heavenly Father, that as we look into them, whether we read from the New Testament or the Old Testament, that you would speak to us. Help us, Heavenly Father, to look into our lives and what we read and what you and the words that you speak to us, Lord, that we may apply it to our lives as well. Heavenly Father, I ask and pray in this afternoon that you'd give me the words to speak. Help me, Lord, to stay focused. And Lord, I ask and pray that the glory would not be of me or my doing, but it would be to you by our Spirit, that all honor and glory would be to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So this past week, I was at work and didn't get a chance in the morning to read the Bible, and it was probably midday, and I don't really make it a habit to just open up and read where the book opens. However, this time it did. And there was a song that I heard on the way into work in the morning that kind of confirmed what the Lord would have me to speak this morning, this afternoon. And it was found in the book of Nehemiah. So if you can turn with me to the book of Nehemiah, the 8th chapter. Nehemiah is kind of sandwiched between Ezra and Esther. And I particularly would ask that as we read this chapter that you would pay close attention to verse number 10, the last part of verse 10, because that's where our focus is going to be. But I'd like to read the whole chapter. And all the people gathered themselves together as one man unto the street that was before the water gate. And they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding, upon the first day of the seventh month. And he read therein before that street that was before the water gate, from the morning until midday, before the men and women, and those that could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. And Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood, which they had made for the purpose. And beside him stood Matthiah and Shema and Ananiah and Uriah and Hilkiah and Messiah. On his right hand and on his left hand, Padiah and Mishael and Malachi and Hushmam and Hashbanana, Zechariah and Melchim. I know I probably butchered the words, but any event. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. And all the people answered, Amen, Amen, with lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads, and worshiping the Lord with their faces to the ground. Also Jeshua, and Benai, and Sherbiah, Jemkin, Abkub, Shabbati, Hodijah, Messiah. I'm going to kind of just skip over those names down, and the Levites caused the people to understand the law, and the people stood in their place. So they read in the book of the law of God distinctly, and gave the sense, and caused them to understand the reading. And Nehemiah, which is the Tirshatha, and Ezra, the priest, the scribe, and the Levites that taught the people, said unto the people, This day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not, nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the works of the law. Then he said unto them, Go your way, eat the fat, and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto you, Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So the Levites stilled all the people, saying, hold your peace, for the day is holy, neither be ye grieved. And all the people went their way, and to drink, and to send portions, and make great mirth, because they had understood the words that were declared unto them. On the second day were gathered together the chief of the fathers of all the people, and the priests and Levites, unto Ezra the scribe, even to understand the words of the law. And they found written in the law, which the Lord had commanded by Moses, that the children of Israel should dwell in booths and in feasts in the seventh month, and that they should publish and proclaim in all their cities and in Jerusalem, saying, go forth unto the mount, and fetch olive branches, and pine branches, and myrtle branches, and palm branches, and branches of thick trees, and make booths, as it is written. So the people went forth, and brought them, and made themselves booths, every one upon the roof of his house, and their courts, and the courts of the house of God, and in the streets of the water gate, and the streets of the gate of Ephraim. And all the congregation of them that were come again out of the captivity made booths and sat under the booths. For since the days of Joshua the son of Nun unto the day that had not the children of Israel done so. And there was very great gladness. Also day by day, from the first day unto the last day, we read in the book of law of God. And they kept the feast 7 days, and on the eighth day was a solemn assembly according unto the manner. So again, as I read this, I opened the book, and as I read it, the one thing that caught my attention was in verse 10, where it says, for the joy of your Lord is your strength. Because that was the song, part of the song that I heard coming in when I was coming into work that I heard, and then I read this, and the Lord revealed to me that this is something that I should talk about. But for us to get an understanding of really what happened here, who is Nehemiah, and how... what's going on here is we just kind of opened the book and we just started reading this. A couple of weeks ago, I had the message about Daniel, how he was thrown in the lion's den. We know that Daniel back then was 80 years old. So he was, being in captivity for 70 years, the children of Israel were in captivity, and he was there at that time. He was going through that time period. So the people that were kind of involved with this was Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, the book of Esther. We'll talk a little bit about that. Jeremiah, Haggai, Zechariah. This is all events that have taken place right after the children of Israel came out of captivity. And you know, when they were in captivity, they didn't have a temple to worship. They didn't worship God. They were just doing what they needed to do on a daily basis to survive. But being in captivity, they didn't have a land. They didn't have their own. It wasn't my place. We were slaves to the Babylonians. Nebuchadnezzar was the king at that time when it first started. And if you remember, when Daniel was growing up, it was Nebuchadnezzar then and Belteshazzar and then Darius. That season passed. They're out of captivity. And now, as through Ezra, they started rebuilding the temple again. And as the temple was being built, Nehemiah, who was a cupbearer, Lord laid on his heart and said, you know what? He goes, I'm hearing that the wall around Jerusalem, there was a wall around Jerusalem that was torn down. And he had a burden to rebuild this wall. And during this time, and if we read in the book of Esther, if you can, you kind of read the story that there was more Jewish people were coming in to build this the temple and the wall, and there was a plot to kill the king, and Mordecai kind of interrupted that or got heard of that plan that they wanted to kill the king, and through Esther, who was the queen at that time, and she trying to get that message to him. That ultimately, in the end, we know it was Haman, and Haman ended up being the one hung instead of Mordecai. So, Naaman, being a man of God, he also was a cupbearer to the king. A cupbearer is one that would drink the drink before the king would get it, just to make sure it wasn't poison, just to make sure that it wasn't tainted or contaminated. I don't know that I would ascribe to being that as my profession, being because you're putting your life out on the line. Kings aren't very popular. They're not very liked. So there are people that would have cause to do things like that. And one thing we read about the book of Nehemiah is in the book of Nehemiah, it doesn't talk anything. There's no miracles performed. There was nobody that was raised from the dead. There were no healings. The book of Nehemiah is a book of prayer, of answered prayers. Nehemiah was a man that saw a need. He captured a vision. He laid a plan and he mobilized a team together. And God provided this leader. He provided the strength and the wisdom. If I pronounce the name King Artaxerxes was king at this time. And Nehemiah had such a good relationship with the king that the king actually made him governor. And one day the king looks at him, and I think it was in chapter 2 or 3, and he says, what's wrong? What's going on? And he tells the king that he has this burden, that he wants to rebuild Jerusalem because people are making fun of this wall that is in shambles and in ruins. And the king gives him permission to do so. And it's interesting because if we read all the events that have taken place right after the children of Israel were released from captivity and they rebuild Jerusalem, they're rebuilding the temple, that didn't come without opposition. And Nehemiah, as he built this wall, did not come with opposition. If we read in the 7th chapter and the 6th chapter where there were those that were laughing at him that didn't want this wall to be built. And these walls are built to keep people out and keep people in. And we know that there were those that wanted to attack the workers. And Nehemiah, in his wisdom, staged guards or people with weapons to protect the workers. And there was actually at a point in time where it says that the workers were working with one hand, they had the tool to build the wall, and the other hand, they had a weapon to protect themselves. And in 52 short days, this wall was built. And as they gathered together, in the courtroom, in this gate, this water gate, they ask for this book, this law, the book of Moses, God's word to be brought out and to be read and to be spoken. And as they did this, you see, we know that Ezra, who was the man at that time that instituted the building of Jerusalem of the temple as well, he was the one that was asked to open the book and to read. And as they started to read, there were those that understood what happened. And you think, well, what happened? See, these people now, after 70 years, that didn't know of what happened in the past, didn't know God's goodness, God's provision, didn't know that there was a God that cared for them and watched over them. And now in their captivity, and they're even living these lives and don't really have that relationship. And here Ezra is telling them about a God who took the children of Israel through the desert. He was a fire by day, a cloud by day, and a fire by night. And the things that he provided for them. And as they were reading through this law, the people started to cry because they understood that their forefathers sinned greatly. They understood that the reason why they were in captivity was because of their sin that they have committed. And as I'm reading this, and the people that understood were crying. They were convicted. They were touched. And then those that didn't understand, that didn't know why, what happened, why is this book written, why, what went on, was explained to them. In verse 10, when they read of that the people wept when they heard of the words of the law. And as they were weeping and crying, Nehemiah said, stop. Nehemiah says, stop. Go your way, eat, drink, sweet, get your portions and give to them who don't have. For this day is holy unto the Lord. Don't be sorry. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. He gives them words of encouragement. And I had to stop and think, what did that mean to them? What did it mean that the joy of the Lord is your strength? And does that have any meaning for you and me today? And as they read and understood of this God who loved them, that didn't desert them, that didn't leave them alone, that understood that, you know what, they committed a sin against God, and it wasn't just one, it was continually. That God then, through his love, which some would say, well, you know what? How can God be a loving God when he put him in captivity for 70 years? He didn't desert them, but he was willing to rebuild them. They were his people, and he loved them, and he cared for them. And he wanted to have that relationship with them. So how's that different for you and I? Because in reality, it's not. You see, it was the sin of the children of Israel through idol worshiping and their disobedience that separated them from God. And it's the sin that separated us from God. And God sending his only son to die on the cross for you and me so that you and I can have that relationship. Oftentimes we say, La Puente, which is the bridge between man and God, who is Jesus Christ. See, Christ died on the cross, and doing that wanted us to restore us back to him. But what does that mean? What does that mean to have the joy of the Lord? You see, if you don't have Jesus Christ in your life, you don't have the joy of the Lord. And if you don't have the joy of the Lord, what is it that's carrying you on? What is it that's making you continue on? We have the joy because in our lives, when trials and tribulations come our way, we know that we have a God that is there. We know that we have somebody that we can go to and we can cry, Abba, Father. And when I was meditating and thinking on this, I thought of Apostle Paul. Many times when he was in chains, he was singing. There was a joy about him because he knew that who God was and what God was able to do. But you know what? Sometimes we forget about that. Sometimes we get so wrapped up in our daily lives and our own things that we lose control. We don't have control over it. We forget that God is the one that's in control. And we lose our strength. And there are some scripture verses that we need to hold on to that can remind us. Apostle John 14:19 says, Christ was saying, because I live, you live also. You have a purpose. We're encouraged by Apostle Paul when he said, and we can mimic the same words where he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That is our joy in Christ, and he is the one that gives us our strength. And because he is alive, we live as well. So is the joy of the Lord your strength? Do you rely on him? Do you know him? Do you want to know him? As Nehemiah encouraged the children of Israel, don't weep, don't be sorry, because there's a God that loves you, there's a God that's going to care for you, there's a God that's going to be on your side, like he's on our side. We are chosen people. We're peculiar people. We are the sons and daughters of the Most High. So as you kind of look at the story of how these children of Israel coming out of captivity that now have a hope of rebuilding again Jerusalem, of hope of being close to God, having their own land, having something that they can call their own. And we too have that hope in Christ Jesus. So as we leave this place, my encouragement to all of us is to consider our joy. Who is our joy, and where is our strength coming from? May God bless his word.